Hello and welcome to the Journey to a Dream podcast, brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. This series is all about finding out from the riders themselves what it takes to get to the start line. Our guest today is hoping to be there for MGP 2024. Let's meet him and find out how it's going.
Hi, my name's Damien Crook. I'm a road racer from Douglas in the Isle of Man. I started 2019. Was my first year. Before that, believe it or not, before that I'd never even done a track day.
Where did the bug come from then?
Bike wise, I've been into bikes since, well, it was in the blood. My family have always been into bikes. Nobody's ever raced. So I was riding motorbikes. I was 6 years old by the time I had my first solo two-wheeled motorbike. Moved to the island in 2009, and obviously it doesn't take long before you're starting to get involved with the racing, stuff like that. Be around about 2010, I think it was, I first met Matt Milcrease from MWR Motorcycles. Him and a lad called Mark Doherty, they had just teamed up and were starting to race Steelies up at Jerby, and Mark asked me if I'd help him build his race bike. That was my first sort of introduction of any form to racing. So I was always up and around there doing the spanners, but never even did a track day. I couldn't afford to back then, and it didn't really cross my mind. I kind of knew I couldn't afford to, so I put it out of my mind. I just went and helped out and whatnot. And then I'd say into 2019, well, it was around about 2018, a few things had happened in my life, a few things had changed, and it was superstar Paul Cassidy, believe it or not, came round to my house one day and he was chatting away to me, and he was telling me all about this new race bike he was looking to buy and build. He wanted to sell me his, what was my first race bike. I kept saying, no, I can't afford it, I can't afford it. And he said, you could, we'd all help you out and blah, 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 as they all say. So I said to him at the time, I had two quite special limited edition motorbikes, road bikes. And I said to him, well, I'll tell you what, I'll put them both up for sale, and if one sells, I'll buy yours. Well, I put them both up for sale on the same night, and within 2 days, I'd sold a pair of them. So I took that as a sign, bought the bike off of him, and my first bike was a ZX6R. Did me race school, I think it was October time 2018. Did me first race in March 2019 with no limits. So that was a right baptism of fire, because not only had I never ever done a track day, my first ever time on a track was doing my race school. And then from there we went to Donington with no limits, and Donington hired a track out on Friday to sports car clubs, so you can't even get a test day on the Friday. So my first introduction to racing was out of the pits into qualifying at Donington on the Saturday.
Flipping it, go big or go home, eh?
Go big or go home, eh?
So that was your introduction. Presumably you thought, oh, this is all right, actually.
Yeah, fell in love with it straight away. But the best part was, well, it's not the best part, but the funniest part about that one was, we goes out into qualifying on the Saturday morning. I think I qualified about 20th out of 43 or something like that. So I was actually well impressed with what I'd done, considering, as I say, first time ever on a track. I think I got a bit carried away. I had a great day that day. I gained a couple of positions in the race. Went out on the Sunday, and about four laps into the first race, I threw my bike down Craner's Curve and watched it barrel roll and absolutely obliterate itself.
And how were you physically after that?
I was fine. I got up and walked away from that one. I had a scratch on my arm. And that was about it. Got up and walked away and went and sat in a corner and cried over the state of the bike. It was a good introduction to racing, really, because that cost me a small fortune to get the bike back into a rideable state for Jerby 2 weeks later.
2 weeks?
2 weeks later, yeah.
You must have been a fan of Blue Peter when you were younger, were you? Presumably the fact that you know what you're doing yourself is really helpful.
Yeah, it helps. It helps me a lot, and it helps a lot of people around us as well. I'm quite hands-on with everyone. If somebody needs a hand, I'm happy to go and help out and stuff like that. From being a child, like, my dad was always into mechanics and stuff like that, but we weren't a wealthy family by any means at all, so you had to do it. You kind of had to learn to do it, because I couldn't afford to pay anybody else to do it. So whether it was fixing push bikes when I was a kid, you know, right up to fixing me cars, me motorbikes now, it's in me to just naturally get on and do it myself.
So you had that 2 weeks, and did you get it ready for Jerby?
Yeah. And then I went and crashed it again.
Oh, you're joking. What happened then?
Again, getting carried away. It was day two of a doubleheader meeting. First day had gone really well. Second day we'd gone out. Track was going a different direction, I believe. Cold tyres. First lap, I had qualified in first place or second place, but I was leading the race into the bus stop for the first time. I'd say cold tyres, went in a bit too fast, lost the front and bounced across the grass.
And how was the bike at that point?
Fine, that one was fine. It just slid across the grass and I was back out in the next race.
And you were okay again?
I was fine in that one, yeah.
From a headspace point of view, though, I mean, luckily no physical injuries, but how difficult is it for you as a real newcomer to racing to get back on after that?
The biggest one, so 2019, none of that really seemed to phase me. It was more the cost side of things that was going to phase you. because it is costly when it goes bad. Luckily, as I say, the second time it just slid, bit of duct tape, cable ties, job was done. But later that year, later in 2019, it was the last track day of the year. Again, been having a really good morning, things were going really well. I remember having a bareback wheel sat there with a brand new tyre on it, and I remember looking at it going, I'm all right, I'll change it after the next session. Anyway, goes out in this next session, and I was chasing down a couple of lads in front. Like I said, it was only a track day, it wasn't a race, we were just playing about, and I got a bit carried away, and I was coming out of what's called the bus stop on Jerby. It's a very small little chicane. Got on the power a bit too quick, the back end stepped out, the bike went down on its left-hand side, and at the time my foot was under the gear lever changing gear, and my foot got wrapped around the foot peg, trapped between the bike and the foot peg, and basically shattered my foot, broke my foot in 14 places.
And what was recovery like?
5 months out of work. Recovery is still going on today, basically. The damage that was done, I mean, I can walk around fine now, but, you know, I'm never going to run again, things like that. But straight away after that, I remember going to the hospital and having the x-ray done, and I'd been told by the medics on site that it was just a sprain and go home and put some ice on it. And I was like, it feels a bit worse than that. So I got a lift to the hospital. I'm sat in A&E, and I remember they did the x-ray, and the guy, his face, when the actual medic, like, he's just looking at the screen at the hospital, and I'm not going to say what I said, actually, but I said, is it bad? He said, well, we'll go and have a chat, and that's when he explained how bad it was. And me being me, I said, well, I've got a race in 2 weeks. Am I going to be able to do it? Due to go over to the UK racing with the last round of No Limits. He just looked at me like I had two heads, and he says, you're probably not going to walk for the next 12 weeks. You know, you're going to be in plaster and all that. But straight away, all I was thinking is, well, when can I get back on a bike? Like, you know, and I sold that bike I had the accident on and went over to the UK on crutches with my leg in plaster to buy my next bike. Injury-wise, has never deterred me. I mean, I had accidents on road bikes and stuff like that. And I think with motorcycling in general, whether it's racing or just riding on the road, if it's in your blood, it's in your blood, and nothing's going to take it away from you, ever. There are people that have accidents and stuff, and they say, well, I'm going to stop the racing. But you'll find they're up there watching it. It's very hard to get it out of your system, or if not impossible.
I suppose, looking back, that came at an interesting time, 2019. Fast forward not many months later, we were into COVID and lockdown.
I was actually signed off work with the foot injury until 1st of April. I was due to go back to work. First race meeting was in March. So I purposely went and see my doctor, said to him, can you sign me back to work for the 1st of February or 2nd of February, whatever it was, the first Monday in February. And he's like looking at me. I said, look, I really want to get back to work. I'm bored. And all it was, I wanted to go racing in March. So they signed me back to work. It was a struggle. I remember going back to work. I couldn't walk. I still couldn't walk properly. I couldn't carry anything. I just struggled through. Yeah, I remember being ready to go to the first race meeting. I had the van loaded. We were due to go on the Thursday night, ready for the Friday morning. Van was loaded. And then we went into lockdown on the Wednesday, was it? Something like that. Probably, in hindsight, a good thing that I didn't push myself as much as I wanted to at the time. But again, that led to other factors as well. Because of COVID, we were all there and we're like, well, there's going to be no racing this year. The whole year, everyone had written the year off. So at the time, I was also in the process of going for a mortgage. So I sold the bike. I sold all my racing gear to fund my mortgage. I thought I might as well do that, you know. As it happened on the Isle of Man, COVID disappeared very quickly. I mean, what was it, 6 to 12 weeks, whatever it was. And come May, ARA were allowed to go racing again. You know, Jerby was allowed to go racing. And I'm sat there without a race bike. I ended up going and buying a shed of a Steely 600 and bodged some fairings from an R6 on it and just went and used that for the rest of the year. So,
a little bit more duct tape, it was all good, yeah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And what was it like getting back on the bike after what you'd been through?
It was like a duck to water, to be honest. Even to this day, I mean, it's in the back of your mind. Don't want to be a drama queen or anything, but every morning I wake up and my ankle still feels a bit iffy and that. So it reminds you, you know, there's 5 screws and some plates in there now. So it reminds you straight away that you've got that injury there. So you tend to make sure, like when you're riding, you do make sure you've got your toes up on the foot pegs and stuff like that. But no, there's no fear there or anything like that. You just get back on and go. And to be honest, it's the best times. Once you get on, you forget you've actually had an injury. You forget there's pain there and you just go in. And you get a lot of people also say, oh, well, the adrenaline takes over. But in all fairness, racing is, people are wrong to say it's adrenaline. It's not. It's more of a euphoria when you're riding a bike. You know, your adrenaline kicks in when you crash or something like that. But when you're on a bike, you're sort of living the then and now. You can't think of tomorrow, you can't think of yesterday. You're just in a moment. So it helps you to forget about everything, everything in general. Anything that's going on in your mind is just clear.
The ultimate mindfulness, I guess, from what you described.
Yeah. You haven't got time to think, oh, I've got to pay this bill tomorrow. So you haven't got time to think about, all you're thinking about is, where's that next break-in marker, you know, and who's up behind me and that sort of thing.
So then back in 2020, you were able to do some racing at Jerby, the future months, obviously, a little bit more uncertain. Did you have a game plan and know where you wanted to race and when?
Well, from the start, my game plan was to get my national licence. Obviously, you need a national licence to be able to go and do the roads. There was talks about trying to do it in 1 year. It's very hard to do that. So that was my goal in 2019, was to get to my national. But unfortunately, with a couple of crashes and things like that, it couldn't be done that year. So the plan was to get it done in 2020 and then start looking at doing the roads, and obviously end game being the Manx. But 2020 was a long road. I made up this bike out of bits. It definitely wasn't competitive. I couldn't afford to make it competitive at the time because I'd just got a mortgage and things like that. So I just made do with it, got back to riding the bike again, basically, after my injury and whatnot. So yeah, 2020 was more of just getting back on a bike. 2021 was a different story. That's when I knew I had to put my hand in my pocket, buy a decent bike and start pushing to get what I needed to go where I wanted, goal being the Manx Grand Prix.
And then how did things progress after that? You got your new bike and you're sort of a little bit more focused again. Obviously, still the COVID situation, a little bit unsettled.
Yeah. So 2021, we'd be into then, wouldn't we? We're still a bit up and down with COVID. It was still struggling to get off the island and stuff like that. But I was able to progress. I started doing really well on that bike. I think at the time I was still in the clubman class at Jerby. Managed to get some good results in that, and then stepped up from clubman license towards, managed to gain my national at around about August time that year. I think it was, I managed to upgrade to my national. Basically did everything through Jerby that year, with the plan for the next year to start for 2022 was then to start hitting the roads, things like the Southern 100, stuff like that. And so that's where we went with that.
And yeah, so you did do the Southern 100 for the first time in 2022.
Yeah.
How's that?
Awesome. Yeah, one of the best things I've ever done in my life. No doubt about it.
And how did you do competitively?
I'm trying to remember now. I think my best result was, I think I come eighth in the B race. I think my fastest time, doesn't matter who you are, I think everyone's goal, especially if you're on a 600cc and upwards, you want the 100 mile an hour lap round the 700 course. I went out and in the last race, last lap, I did 99.6.
Ooh.
Yeah. The following weekend, the bike absolutely blew its brains out. Two laps of Jerby the following weekend, so I was lucky to actually finish the Southern, I think.
It really gives you a sense, I think, of the roller coaster ride that people go through on this journey.
It's unreal. The highs do outweigh the lows, that's for sure. There can be some serious lows involved in it as well, and I'd say to anyone that's thinking of getting into it, bear that in mind. Everyone warned me as well, because obviously you got your initial costs, buying a bike, buying all the gear that goes with the bike, your clothing, your protective clothing, generators, tire warmers, a van, a trailer, whatever you need. You got all that to outlay first. Then the payments for the events themselves, your fuel for the event, this, that, the other, the tires. The cost of tires now is just astronomical. And when you're going through to some people free rears in a weekend at £250 plus a tire, it's a massive expense. But then you've also got the other side of it. If you crash, like I did on my first weekend, that cost me a couple of £1,000 to rebuild the bike in time to get to the next event, you know. And that's doing it on the cheap as well. I'm a bit of a tight arse like that, so everything gets done on the cheap. So anybody is thinking of getting into it, just bear that in mind. It's not just a case of go and buy a bike and race. There is a lot more costly aspects to it.
And very little money left over for fripperies of ordinary life.
So I have to live a very quiet life. I've had to make some serious sacrifices for my racing. I mean, yes, I've got a mortgage, I've got myself, it's my own flat, but if you come in my house, I don't have the luxuries of Sky Telly, I don't have Wi-Fi, I've got a crappy old iPhone 7 with a cracked screen. You have to make certain sacrifices to do it. I've got kids, but they don't live with me, so if I haven't got Wi-Fi, it's not affecting them so much. But if you live in a family and kids are at home all the time, they expect it, you know, you got to have the Wi-Fi, you got to have this. And I don't want to say lucky for me, but fortunately I don't have to have it, so I don't have it. So I'm able to go without. I basically go without anything in my life to fund racing. And it's been that, well, not just fund racing, but anything I want to do in life, I have to. So I haven't been on holiday, for instance. I haven't been on holiday 8 years, 9 years.
Do you miss it though?
No, I mean, funny enough, before I moved here, I used to come here on holiday.
So now you're just living holiday.
I know why I'm doing it and what I'm doing it for. And at the end of the day, that first time I go down Bray Hill, I don't think that anything's ever going to match that again. Like, the sacrifices will all just be worth it.
And what's the day job?
Day job, I'm a welder fabricator. Been doing that since I was 16, so I can fix things quite easily at work and stuff if need be. So, and me boss and that, they're happy if I want to go to the workshop, fix me bike. They're good like that. They are good.
And you mentioned the children. Do you think either of them are going to follow in your footsteps?
My daughter's become a very girly girl. I remember talks years ago where she used to talk about how she'd love to be a travelling marshal, but I was trying to explain to her, you can't just get on a bike and become one. But no, I don't think my daughter would. She does come up to the racing, she comes and helps out, she'll put the tyre warmers on and stuff like that. My son could be a different story. I mean, he's 8 years old now, he's got a little motocross bike, he loves coming up to the racing, he's constantly sat there making bike noises. If there's a bike there, he's climbing on it. Good sponsor of mine, Matt Milcrease from MWR Motorcycles, he allows me to use his workshop. I'm down there all the time, just take my bikes down after hours and I can use his tools, tyre fitting machine, stuff like that. So my son's always down there with me as well. He loves it. Every single bike he'll have, go and have a sit on this one, then he'll sit on that. He's bike mad. Yeah.
Sounds like the genes are strong in that one.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Jerby. The Andreas Racing Association,
yes,
is something that's been a huge part of your journey so far. And I just wonder, from your point of view, having that over here, those meetings that you can go to, the support you can get from people who truly understand why you love doing what you're doing, how important has that been?
Very, very. I mean, if it wasn't for ARA, I wouldn't be racing at the end of the day, because there's no way I could have ever afforded to just go and race across. And like many others from the island, I don't think anybody could really afford to just race across, not when you're getting started out anyway. ARA have been great. The people like Lee, who set this up for us today, thank you, Lee. Yeah, great guys, great committee. It's grassroots racing again. Always been very supportive of me and most of the other races, you know. But more importantly, up there is the paddock life. You become like a little family, most of us up there. There's got to be 20, 30 of us up there that are just, we're in group chats now all the time and stuff like that. So it's great. It's really good.
And as we're talking, we're sort of at the start of the 2024 season, essentially. What does this year look like it's going to hold for you?
So starting, it will be ARA next weekend. They've got their first round next week. So I'll be doing a test day on Saturday and a race on Sunday. From there, I'm doing the Spring Cup at Oliver's Mount, so we're going there in April. I'll then be doing the pre-TT. I'll say thank you to my friend Peter, who's sponsored me a bike for that. I'm looking forward to that. I did that for the first time last year. That is a really good event down at the 700 course. Really, really good event. And then it'll be the 700, so we'll be doing that. I'll be doing that on my own bike. Then it'll be the Manx Grand Prix. I've been accepted as a newcomer. I've done the newcomers weekend and stuff like that, but there is still, we've got a final hurdle to get over. And yeah, you know, I can't see why I won't get in, but it's yeah.
How do you imagine you are going to feel when you do sit on that start line on Bray Hill?
I think you can put it into words, can you? I mean, yeah, it's going to be an emotional roller coaster, I'd imagine. Excitement, fear, don't care what anybody says, there's definitely going to be that aspect of fear there, and butterflies, you know, it's going to, I don't know. It's, yeah, I can only imagine what it's going to be like, but you know, sitting on the start line is one thing. I mean, you get it even up at Jerby, don't get me wrong. You know, every race you start, you're on that start line and you're looking at the lights. Everyone's got the butterflies, you're getting jittery. But the minute you go, the minute you let that clutch go, your head goes into the zone it needs to be in, and that's going to be the best experience of my life at the end of the day.
Living over here, I guess you've got the advantage that you must know the mountain course pretty well. Have you got a favourite spot so far, even though you haven't done it on the racing line yet?
Yeah, I used to live in Peel and used to drive to Ramsey to work when I used to work in Ramsey, and I've always loved the section from Kurt Michael through to Quarry Bends to Solway Strait, so through Bishop's Court and bits like that. So yeah, I can't wait to do that on a closed road. That's going to be awesome. The mountain, I love the mountain. I've obviously lived here all those years, having 1,000cc road bikes and stuff, so I've gone over the mountain a fair few times. But yeah, looking forward to again being able to do that with no cones out on the road, no traffic.
And what would you say is the best piece of advice you've ever been given up to this point?
Don't start racing. Yeah, take your time, learn your trade. So one of the most important things I've ever been told in life, years and years ago, a guy turned around to me and he said, you cannot buy experience. It's been priceless ever since, like, you know, and you can't. you can get on a bike and think, right, I'm going to be the fastest thing in the world. I did. Like I said, my first weekend, I was like, yeah, you know, here we go. And just totaled the bike. Learn your trade. You learn the hard way a lot of the time. You'll sit there and think, oh, yeah, maybe I should have changed. Like my incident, you know, I've learned now I should have changed my tyre. You know, I shouldn't have said, oh, I'll do it afterwards. Or if something doesn't feel right, there's usually a reason for it. Look over it. But at the same time, you can overthink. I mean, I've had friends of mine up at the racing, newcomers usually, people in their first year, they're flapping over everything. That's one of the worst parts. I was the same as a newcomer. Yeah, like, you go to an event. If you can find somebody to come with you and help you out, it makes a world of difference. I mean, even just, like, oh, where do I go? Where do I sign on? And oh, where do I get this? And where do I get that? I've got a friend of mine at the moment. He's doing his first race weekend at Alton Park this weekend. And he's been on the phone to me a couple of times. Like, where do I go for this? And how do I do this? And, you know, I'm worried that when I go to the start line, I'm not going to know where to go and things like that. So don't panic. Find people, talk to people, you know, because you can overthink things. And don't beat yourself up. So many people go out, they beat themselves up because they're not doing the same time as their friend or something like that. And they're just beating themselves up over it. It's like, no, you're out there for fun. Just go and let it come. Let it come naturally.
Well, Damien, we cannot wait to see you on that start line for MGP 2024. Can people keep up to date with your progress? Do you post on social media?
I do. I've got a race page, DC Racing Isle of Man. So I do post any updates on there quite often. I don't do Instagram, unfortunately. I've got an Instagram page, but I don't really do it. But yeah, if anybody wants to catch up on anything from my page, it'll be on there on Facebook. Most of my racing I've done off my own back. I've made sacrifices, this, that, the other. But it gets to a point, especially when you get to the road, you need sponsors. You do need help.
I just wonder how difficult you find it, I guess, asking for that sort of help and support, because I know a lot of racers almost feel that they shouldn't be asking people to support what is essentially their passion.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Like, looks are going to the Manx. I mean, you're going to be going through, you could be going through a tyre maybe two a night. I'm not 100% sure yet. Either way, you're definitely going to be a tyre a night through practice. The amount of fuel, I think you talked 40 litres of fuel a night. Things do add up. Sponsorship wise, I never really got any help with any sponsorship until I went to the roads, and you will find that. So if you're a club racer and you're feeling a bit beaten up because you've asked people for help and you're getting none, you're not the only one. There might be a small handful of people that do get help, but very rare. So don't feel beaten up, because at the end of the day, if someone come up to you and said, oh, I've just started playing golf at Paul Rowles Golf Club, can you buy me some clubs? You're going to tell them to go away, like, you know, nicely. It's the same with racing up at Derby, you know. As much as, yes, you are still risking your life at the end of the day, or injury and stuff like that. But as you say, it's your hobby. Nobody's forcing you to do it. So to ask somebody to buy you a set of tyres to go and do it, yeah, not many people are interested in helping for a start. So, but then you suddenly find, when you get into the road racing scene and you're doing the likes of the 700 and the Manx, or going away to Ireland, you know, Northwest, something like that, people seem to just come at you. They suddenly seem to see your name more. And I don't know whether there's just people scout through books and see the names on the entry list or whatever, but I remember seeing it at the 700 last year. Somebody just walked up and gave a friend of mine a handful of money. You know, there you go and buy some tyres. Nobody knew who he was. He didn't know, you know, nobody knew anybody. And it was just very nice. But, you know, it seems to only start coming at those sort of levels. So I have got, over the last sort of two, three years now, is it, that I've been doing the roads, obviously, Southern in 2022, so yeah, into my second year of the roads now. I have had some good sponsors come on board. Some people have really helped out. It's mainly friends, I must admit. It's friends who may have little businesses or whatever, or just general friends that have come along and said, look, I just want to help a mate out, and they bought me a set of tyres.
Damien, it's been lovely to talk to you. We're talking on a Friday. I'm guessing you're going to go home and hit the town now, are you?
No, I am not. I'm going to, if only, I'm going to leave here now. I've got to go and pick my son up, and then go home and make him some tea and get up in the morning and go and fix my bike.
Damien, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Beth.
Damien Crook. Watch out for him this year. Every single thing crossed that he will be on the start line for MGP 2024. And the links to where you can keep up to date with his progress will be on the podcast page. Thank you so much for downloading this episode of Journey to a Dream, brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. You can visit them, kawasaki-insurance.co.uk, to find out how you can get covered. And as ever, if you have a story you'd like to tell, do get in touch. Beth Espy at manxradio.com is the email address. And so until next time, take care. Bye-bye.